This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Biden tax policy and some of the proposals that are currently being put out there and how those could be combined with some existing tax breaks or tax policy to help spur growth while at the same time raising tax rates. So what am I talking about? Well, first off, it's important to understand where the Biden tax policy is. So we've gone through the last few months. There's been a lot of stimulus package. We got the American Rescue Plan. And now the talk has moved to infrastructure. And this follows what President Biden pushed during the election cycle with what they called the American Recovery Plan. And a lot of that's infrastructure spending and other areas to really push manufacturing and infrastructure in the U.S. Problem is, it's expensive. And coming off of a year after COVID, where there was a lot of spending in order to keep the economy moving, people are questioning how much deficit spending can be used and borrowing can be used by the federal government to pay for some of these things. At the same time, we've seen after the 2007 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, or sorry, 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we've seen a dropping in tax revenue. And so one of the policies would be to adjust the tax code and raise tax rates in order to help pay for some of these spending proposals. Now, most of these tax rate increases would come on corporations and high net worth individuals or higher income earners, not necessarily the people at the lower end, but still it needs to come from somewhere, according to the Democrats drafting this policy. Now, Republicans have shown that they would be open for some taxes in order to pay for some of these things. However, most of their opinions as to where it comes from it changes to the gas tax or taxes for user fees on electric vehicles, maybe even an increase to the corporate tax rate, which we'll get into, but probably not as high as President Biden had pushed in his election proposals. So let's talk a little bit about what's out there and then maybe some ways that could make this not as bad as it sounds for businesses moving forward. So first off, it's important to remember that a number of these things changed in 2017 with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, corporate tax rate was decreased to 21%. Now, under Joe Biden's policy plans when he was running for president, that would be increased to 28%. Now, some are saying maybe we meet in the middle somewhere with a 25%. So really, the plan right now, what they're looking at is somewhere between that 25 and 28% tax rate. And then increasing the top marginal tax rate on individuals from the 37% it dropped down to under the TCJA up to 39.6. Now, I will admit there's a number of other things going into this. At what point does this kick in? Everything else. And so that's important to keep in mind. I'm simplifying to an extent. Additionally, there's talk about increasing capital gains rates to ordinary income rates for individuals over a certain threshold. And there's also talk about the increasing the global minimum tax to force higher taxes on multinationals. Now, why is that happening? Well, one of the reasons is they see that in 2018, the Joint Committee of Taxation found that multinationals paid 8% on income versus about 16% in 2017. So we've seen this rapid drop in where multinationals are paying taxable income. So there's a talk of increasing the global minimum tax to combat that. So that's where a lot of those policies are. That's where a lot of the policy proposals are. We don't have any policies yet. Now, what's been talked about is that the tax increases would be proposed right around the same time as this infrastructure spending. So they'd come together because there's a lot of discussion of the fact that they don't want to propose this massive infrastructure bill without some way of paying for it. Now, the question being is whether or not they can get enough votes, because there's still that 50-50 split in the Senate. So even if they figure out a way to get it passed any type of filibuster, either by doing away with the filibuster or saying that it meets some other budgetary rules, there's still a question mark as to whether or not this can pass without making it somewhat balanced for senators like Joe Manchin out of West Virginia. Probably a couple years ago, most people had never heard of Joe Manchin. Now Joe Manchin's the one that people talk about all the time because he's probably the most middle of the road of any of the Democratic senators. So in order to get any tax policy through, it really has to go across his desk. Some people are saying he's probably one of the most powerful people in the Senate right now, if not the most powerful person. So with that in mind, what are some things that can be done to make this more palatable to people like Joe Manchin? Well, one of the ways is to create incentives for companies to do things within the U.S. And that's done through standardized things like depreciation, like research tax credits, like hiring credits, things like that that force people to want to do stuff in the U.S. that lowers that tax burden. So let me give you an example. Bonus depreciation was a policy underneath the TCJA, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that allow companies to write off 100% of certain types of investments. So if you spend $1 million on equipment, you get to write that equipment off immediately. Now, at a 21% tax rate, if you write off $1 million worth of equipment, you save $210,000. If that tax rate, that corporate tax rate, goes up to 28%, now all of a sudden they're saving $280,000. So one of the ways to potentially offset that concern about increasing the corporate tax rate is to extend bonus depreciation to allow businesses to reinvest. Now, that will lower their tax rate. It will lower the amount of money they pay in taxes, but they will be pushing that money out into the economy by spending it on new equipment, new facilities, growth, expansion, etc. So that's just one way. Another way is to look at the R&D tax credit. Research tax credit was created back in the 80s as a way to incentivize businesses to do research and development in the U.S. Now, unfortunately, what's happened since the 1980s is other countries have caught up with it. And actually, the U.S. R&D tax credit on a global scale is not as lucrative as some of the competing countries anymore. It's dropped way down the list. In addition, there's a little thing under the TCJA that will create a issue where expenses used to calculate the R&D credit will have to be amortized starting in another year or so. That needs to be fixed under any tax policy, and potentially the R&D tax credit needs to be expanded and made better. Why? Well, once again, if you increase that corporate tax rate, incentivizing people to move those high-paying jobs in research and development, in engineering, in science, to the U.S. will have other economic benefits, while at the same time you get to increase that corporate tax rate. So you want to offset it with something like that. And that's the idea of what we're stating here, is that if they want to increase these corporate tax rates, if they want to increase the individual tax rate, you increase the offsetting deductions and credits to allow people to reinvest in their communities. Another example of this that probably actually needs a little bit more explanation is what's called an ICDISC, or Interest Charged Domestic International Sales Corporation. So this is an area where the years ago, it was statutorily put in to incentivize people to manufacture in the U.S. and ship things overseas. And what happens is, manufacturing company manufactures something in the U.S. you flow it through a disc corporation, and then you pay yourself back a dividend. And what happens is you get to play the arbitrage between your ordinary income rate and your capital gains rate to create a benefit. Now, if they increase the capital gains rate to the ordinary income rate, that might offset that benefit. The whole reason for this is to push manufacturing into the U.S. and push exports from the U.S. So we want to build things in the U.S. and ship it overseas. That's obviously good for the economy. So as they're going through and looking at these, it is important that when they look at increasing the tax rates on people, especially if they also want to increase capital gains, that they provide some exceptions for these things like the IC disc to allow them to stay effective. This will then push companies to build manufacturing products in the U.S. and then ship them overseas. So, and we can go through a whole list of these, whether it's hiring credits, whether it's pushing for solar panels, and this is nothing new. The government's done this for a long time, where they create credits and they create incentives for things that they see as beneficial to society. So if you want people to go out and hire certain types of individuals, you create a job credit for it. If you want people to put solar panels in, you create credits for that. If you want people to put wind turbines in, you put credits for that. Whatever it is that we want to incentivize, we need to have those credits and those deductions for. So if there's a push for more green energy or making buildings more efficient, just using the things like the 179D tax deduction, 179D is a tax deduction for installing energy efficient equipment. That's honestly not going to be good enough if you really want to incentivize people to do things. 179D is $1.80 per square foot in deductions for the installation of energy efficient improvements in a building. Unfortunately, $1.80 a square foot in deductions is not enough to move the needle. All it ends up doing is giving a deduction for people to do things that they're already doing. So what you need to do is you need to increase it, either make it a credit or increase it to, say, $3 or $4 a square foot to allow people to have that money to do things that make more sense, or combine it. Combine it with a credit and a deduction or something else. But the key thing here is that these things can really move industries into doing things that you want them to be doing. So, for example, let's go back to the depreciation, that bonus depreciation I mentioned earlier on. If we take bonus depreciation, let's say we want people to build more manufacturing plants in the U.S. So what you do, or renovate manufacturing plants. So what you do is you increase bonus depreciation or potentially create some credits for hiring people in those manufacturing sectors. Instead of putting money in from the federal government, what you're doing is you say, you as a business put in a $10 million manufacturing facility. Anything that's equipment related, that's related to that equipment, you get to take bonus depreciation on. So let's say that's 20% of my $10 million expenditure. That's $2 million. Plus, if I go out and hire people, I get an incentive for that. So now I'm hiring people in the U.S. Plus, let's say I want to push green energy. So I put solar panels on it. I get tax credits for that, which these all exist right now, but all of them expire and leverage down. And the key thing here is not only to have them exist, but have some certainty with them. Right now, bonus depreciation's around. It was under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It was 5 years. So it's 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022, and it starts leveraging down in 23. But why not make that longer so businesses can plan for it? The hiring credits, make that a long-term thing so businesses can start planning as to how to offset these tax increases, while at the same time creating incentives for businesses to go out, hire, take over new facilities. If you want to push people to moving to parts of the country where people are downtrodden, push for that as well. And now what might even need to happen is some of these also might have to be refundable in some way. And what do I mean by that? Well, some of these tax credits, for example, the R&D tax credit, they can only take somebody, remove taxable income they have. Well, what some states do is they allow certain tax credits to be transferred so somebody can come in and buy it. So if there's something you really want to do, what you do is you create an ability to sell that to another company. And what that does is it allows people at the lower end of the income spectrum to start businesses by selling some of these credits that would be generated from these businesses to other corporations. And now some people are going, all I'm talking about is creating tax breaks. Yes, but all of these tax breaks are tax breaks related to fundamentally spending money in the U.S. economy. And what that does is it creates a trickle effect. And so it pushes money out from these businesses into the hands of other people, which then it would get taxed as income or other things. It would also create other jobs because now the workers have money. Instead of talking about increasing the minimum tax, or sorry, increasing the minimum income, if you create tax credits for paying people a living wage, that will force companies to pay a little bit more. Won't force them to, but it gives them that option of paying a little bit more by creating a tax credit. It charges them less to do it, and it incentivizes them to do it, which gets money out into the people. So really what we're getting at is, if we are going to increase tax rates, in order to make sure that doesn't lower the incentive to invest in the country, what we want to do is we want to, at the same time of creating these tax rates, incentivize people to spend money because it will offset some of those tax increases that are coming, thus getting money flowing through the economy, especially right now. We saw that after the Great Recession that sometimes people hoarded cash. And over the next couple of years, especially coming out of COVID, you don't want that to happen. So as we do these things, we want to make sure that the government is looking for ways to get people spending this money as quickly as possible. Now, these are just a few areas that we see an opportunity. This could grow significantly in other areas. And it's a good conversation topic as to how do we make sure that all of these things that we're planning actually have the desired effect, which is not only paying for these infrastructure investments and other things, but also increasing the long-term growth of the U.S. economy. And if we do that the right way, it can work out to a way that it makes sense for all involved. I appreciate you logging on. If you have any questions, always feel free to reach out to us directly. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire at McGuireSponsel.com.